Good morning. Our scripture this morning is Acts 20, verses 31 through 35. Acts 20, verses 31 through 35. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive.
God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. This past week, those words took on greater meaning than ever before. As we left here last Sunday morning, we thought, well, life is just like it's always been, and this week will be like any other. And then Monday evening came, and our nearby neighbors in Gatlinburg learned how quickly things can change. Life is like that. Life can change at any moment. Just when we think everything is secure, fires break out, the earth quakes, tragedy strikes. How important it is that we have God as our refuge and our strength. No, that doesn't mean trouble will never come to us. It will. But we now have someone that can help us in those times of trouble. And that's why it's so important that when everything seems to be going well, now is the time to strengthen that relationship and to make sure that God is indeed our refuge and our strength. Keep those brethren in mind that have lost so much, and in fact, all those in the Gatlinburg area. We have brethren in the church in Gatlinburg that lost their homes to fire. 3 families that we have known of, and maybe others that have not yet learned the fate of their belongings. And that's why we're participating in this drive to send money to our brethren there to help. And while there is a shipment going tomorrow of things to help out. So do what you can, but by all means pray for all those who have been so badly affected. We're so glad you're with us today. We have a good number. We have many visitors with us today, and we're really glad you've come our way. And hope that you'll give us a moment to get acquainted. And if we can help in any way, we'd love to do that. So just tell us what we can do. And we'll do our very best, but really are glad that you have come our way. I hope you'll come back at 6 o'clock. Again, we will worship at that time. And Greg will be talking to us this evening about the uniqueness of Job. That promises to be a very good lesson. And I really hope you'll come out and join us as we worship God. Also, at 5:45, we continue our 2 different things going on at 5:45. The children will meet in here at 5:45 for bodybuilders, a good way to strengthen their faith, to teach them Bible lessons and songs and memory verses. And in the old auditorium, many of us have been meeting to pray for our nation, and that need continues. So we hope you'll come out and join us as we continue praying for our nation at 5:45. But it is a day to set apart for God and to develop our relationship with him. Hope you've got your Bible with you. If you do, let's get those open now. Turn on that device that has the Bible on it. Whatever it is, let's focus our attention now on the Word of God, because that's what we need so much in our lives. Every now and then we see stories on television or in the newspaper about somebody that has won a lot of money. Or inherited a lot of money, and now they are suddenly rich. They've never been rich before. They have had to live like you and I have to live, paycheck to paycheck perhaps, or maybe a little bit easier, but still, it's tough. But now there's all this money, and you know the common line, well, tomorrow I'm going to quit my job. And it's a rare person that says, no, I'm going to keep on working and live just like I always have. And you know the way we look at our jobs varies greatly, doesn't it? There are some of us that say, I love what I do, and I'm one of those. I love what I do. And thinking about retirement, I don't want to think about that, although it's going to happen at some point. But I'm going to try to put that off as long as I can, and thank you for not groaning when I said that. But there are those of us that really love our jobs. But then there are those that say, I can't wait until that moment comes. I can retire. And that's okay. I mean, that's fine if you are looking forward to that day. But there are some that need a new work ethic. And that's what we're talking about today, is a new work ethic. In fact, all this year, on the first Sunday of each month, we've been talking about how Jesus wants to make all things new. That statement is found in Revelation 21 and verse 5. Behold, I'm making all things new. What does that mean? Well, there's a lot of things in our lives that need to be made new. We've talked about how our family relationships need to be made new according to the will of God. We've talked about a new standard of morality, how to use our leisure time, and on and on. We've talked about a number of things. Today, let's talk about this idea of a new work ethic, because this is important in the sight of God. He's given us information that we need to know. So let's find out, what does that mean to have a new work ethic? First of all, the Bible teaches us that we are to work in order to provide for our own and our family's needs. And most of us know this, but there are many that have not yet adopted that work ethic. We work in order to provide for our own needs as well as the needs of our families. There are many that don't follow this work ethic. In fact, you could read about one, and let's turn to Proverbs chapter 24 and just read about one such person that stands as representative of many. And these are people that have been in the world ever since time began, I suppose. But the writer here says about this sluggard, that's the name that is given, somebody that doesn't like to work, does anything to get out of work. And he says this in Proverbs 24, beginning in verse 30. I passed by the field of a sluggard, by the vineyard of a man lacking sense, and behold, it was all overgrown with thorns. The ground was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. Then I saw and considered it. I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber, and want like an armed man. And the idea is found often throughout the book of Proverbs, and that is, we need to learn that work is not a bad thing necessarily. Now, that doesn't mean you have to love your job, but it does mean that we have to go to work and earn those things that are necessary for life. And here is pictured the person that says, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to let somebody else take care of me, even though I am able to do it, I am capable of holding down a job, I'm not going to do it because this person is lazy. They are a sluggard. And the Bible warns us that is not the way to live. Poverty will come upon such a person. And then we go to another passage in John chapter 12 and verse 6, and we see a person that we know very well, and he stands as a representative of a whole different class. Again, people that need a new work ethic. In John chapter 12 and verse 6, now we're looking at Judas. And you know about Judas, how he betrayed our Lord. But listen to what we find here in John chapter 12. Judas said this, not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. And having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. He was a thief. And unfortunately, there are plenty of people like this in our world today, people who have to be industrious. They have to put forth a lot of effort in order to do what they do, but the difference is they want what belongs rightfully to somebody else. I'm not going to work for that, they might say. I'll take what you have. And it may be somebody breaking into our house at night or while we're away. Or it may be somebody hacking into our credit card accounts or our bank account. You see, all kinds of dishonesty and deception are employed in order to get what they want. And again, the Bible is very clear. This is not the way to be. It is wrong in the sight of God, and society generally says these people are just disgraceful. They are detestable because they take what belongs to another and make it their own. And so again, you see the idea that there are many in our world that do not have the right work ethic. In fact, Paul summed it up in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10, and he had been talking about some that were not busy doing the things they ought to do, but instead they just wandered from house to house and mooched. That's the word that we might use today. They mooched off of other people. And listen to what Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 10. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command, if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. That puts it pretty starkly, doesn't it? If anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. Well, we've all got to eat. Then those of us who are able. And you'll notice there, Paul did not say, if anyone cannot work, or if anyone is not working. That's not how he said it. He said, if anyone will not work, they are able to do it, that's the implication, and yet they're not doing it, then let that person not eat. And that's the way the Bible looks at it. You've got to have the right work ethic. Again, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, this is another statement of the same idea. Here, Paul was listing the criteria for taking someone in as a widow to be supported by the church, because a widow in that day and time had nothing, generally speaking. They had lost their husbands. They may not have any children. But how do they get by? Well, the church would often step in and provide their livelihood because nobody else was there. But Paul said in this case, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, if there is family, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. That's how God looks at it. If you're not willing to put forth the effort to hold down a job in order to provide the needs for your family, then you've denied the faith. That is part of our faith, is working for a living, putting in a good day's work for a good day's pay. And so Paul says, that's the way it is. The positive statement is found everywhere as well. In fact, stay right there in 1 Timothy chapter 5. Go down to verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 16. Now, what of those families that have members that cannot support themselves? Well, he says this in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 16. If any believing woman has relatives who are widows, let her care for them. And that's assuming that she has the means to do so. Of course, let the church not be burdened so that it may care for those who are truly widows. And that simply says that the church does do that at times. Here at Central, at times, we have helped people with expenses they were not able to bear for a period of time. And that's the way it ought to be. We are family. But when there is a family that can help out, then that's their responsibility, Paul says. Let not the church be burdened so that it may work with those who cannot do better for themselves. In fact, Paul himself set himself as an example. Look at 1 Thessalonians now. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9. And here's what Paul wrote on that occasion. He said, for you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We worked night and day that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaim to you the gospel of God. And Paul there demonstrates the work ethic that God approves. He said, we worked night and day. I was there among you. I was working among you as a preacher of the gospel. but I didn't want to be a burden. And therefore, we provided for our own needs. And then again, the passage that was read earlier, Acts chapter 20. Look at Acts chapter 20, verses 33 and 34. And listen again to what Paul says about how he approached his work, how he viewed the way he was to do in this life. He said in Acts 20, verses 33 and 34, I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. These hands, he says, ministered to my necessities as well as those who were with me. And that suggests those who were traveling with Paul. Those who were workers in the kingdom who were not located where they could find a job that would support them full time. And so now Paul says, I make sure that they're taken care of. I want to provide for my own by doing what I'm able to do. And you see, there is that idea of the work ethic that Christians ought to have if we are able. And we know whether we are able or not, and we know there are those that can't. But if we are able, then we are to have the attitude that I will do what I need to do in order to provide for my family, for those that depend on me. In a book entitled Simple Living, Building Your Ark, How to Survive and Prosper in Uncertain Times, the author, William Grebenick, writes this, and he's thinking about the passage where Jesus says God takes care of the birds of the air, how he feeds them. And he says, yes, God takes care of even the birds of the earth, but every morning that bird is out hustling for his food. He doesn't just sit there and wait for God to drop something into his mouth. And that kind of gives us the pattern. Yeah, ultimately God is the one who gives us everything. I have food on my table because of God. I have clothes to wear because of God. I have a house to live in because of God. But God expects me to do what I can. And that's the idea that we find in all of these verses that we've looked at, plus many others that we have not. In fact, it goes all the way back to the beginning. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15, we learn that God made Adam. And then it says he put Adam in the garden to work it and to keep it. Nothing wrong with work. Honest work is something that is to be prized. It is something to be valued. It is something that God gave us an example for and expects us to have this work ethic. But I want you to go further with me with this idea, because now we get into areas that maybe we've not challenged ourselves on enough. Now some have, I have no doubt, but here's some things that we need to think of a little further down the line. And that is, generally, we work to provide for the needs of those who can't work. Now, we've already said we work to provide for our own needs as well as for the needs of others. We all understand that, generally. You may or may not be accepting that, but we do understand that. But this point, we work to provide for the needs of those who can't work. That's a little more challenging. In fact, I want you to go back to John chapter 12 and verse 6 that we looked at earlier. Judas, you remember the example there? And something that John said that we might have just kind of skipped over. Look at it again. John chapter 12 and verse 6, where John tells us this. Judas said what he did. He was criticizing Mary for this generous gift that she had given to Jesus. And he says, he said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. Now, did you catch that first part? Not because he cared for the poor. In other words, Judas did not care about people that were poor. How could that be? I mean, did not this man follow Jesus for 3 years? Was he not part of that group of apostles that was with Jesus virtually every waking moment and traveled with him and saw the good that he did? Did he not see the compassion that Jesus had on those who were poor and hungry? He didn't care about the poor. And I think there are plenty of people like that in all the times of this world, because we make generalizations sometimes about those who are poor. We say, well, they could do better. That's often true, but sometimes it isn't. Sometimes there are those that can't do better, either due to their physical condition or circumstances of life that makes it very difficult, very near impossible to get a job. There's a lot of reasons, and we've talked about that in the past. Do we care about the poor? Because the Bible says that is also part of the work ethic that we're to have. Let's look again back to the passage in Acts that we looked at just a few moments ago, Acts chapter 20. And you remember, Paul said here, you know, I've worked hard so that I could provide for my own needs and for the needs of those with me. But listen to what else he says there. Acts 20, beginning in verse 33, and this time we'll go through verse 35. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. The common attitude in America, and I'm not saying this is your attitude, but the common attitude is, this is my money, I worked hard for it, now I get to do what I want to do. And to an extent, that is true. But here, Paul talks about a work ethic that is new. He said, I'm trying to show you that by working hard, we now will be able to help those who are weak. And if we don't work as hard, we'll not have enough to share with others, and we'll not be able to help the weak. That's a new dimension of the work ethic that Christ wants us to have. You see the same thing in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. Now, again, we're talking about somebody that has been a thief. Can they change? Yes. Will they change? Some do. And here, Paul is talking about one such person that has changed. Listen to what he says in Ephesians 4, verse 28. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands. And to that point, we would all say, that's right. Preach on, Paul. But that's not where Paul stops. Did you notice? There's more that comes. He says, let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with those who are in need. So that we may have something to share with those who are in need. Now, it's assumed in that verse. I'm confident that we work in order to provide for our own needs. Paul has said that in plenty of other places. That is responsibility number one, taking care of my needs, those of my family. I've got to do that. Otherwise, I'm worse than an unbeliever. But if I stop there, I do not yet have that new work ethic. Because he says we need to work so that we will have something to share with those who are in need. Have you noticed how often those opportunities come along? I mean, here at Central, just since August, let me remind you of some things that we've been doing, and some of you may be saying, wait a minute, you're just putting too much on us. Well, let me show you some of these things. Saturday of service, you remember back in August we did this, and we collected cleaning supplies and shoes and other things to share with the community, those people that do not have the material goods that we do. And you may remember that soon after that, we then said, we've got these shoe boxes and we ask you to fill them with simple gifts and we will send them to Nicaragua to give to children there. And there were over 200 of those that were filled and shipped. And in the meantime, we've also helped those victims in South Carolina who were hurt by the hurricane. Money was sent there to help that. We just finished sharing Thanksgiving, in which we filled bags of groceries and gave hams or turkeys. And again, we help people around us who are poor. And now, we're trying to do all we can for the people in Gatlinburg and the surrounding area. And some may say, what are you doing? We're doing too much of this. And I suppose there comes a point where it is too much. But are we there? Or is this not part of what the Lord's church is to do? to reach out to those who are in need, to show them the love of God, and to share what God has so generously given to us. Let me take you to a couple of passages in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 17. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 17, and this really puts it in a very memorable way, because there the wise man says, "Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord." Can you imagine the Lord coming to us and saying, "Tim, could I borrow $20, $100? Could you lend me that money?" And most of us would say, "Oh, I can't imagine God ever doing that." Isn't that what he said? If you are generous to the poor, you are lending to the Lord. And hold on, he will repay him for his deed. And I suspect we will be repaid in a much greater way than we ever helped. But you see the value God puts on helping those who are poor? And then again, Proverbs 22 verse 9. Proverbs 22 and verse 9, where it says, "Whoever has a bountiful eye." And I think the idea is pretty clear there. We see somebody that has a need, and we share with them. We're glad to do it. We do it quickly and generously. "Whoever has a bountiful eye will be blessed, for he shares his bread with the poor." And you see, brethren, that tells us God's attitude. God says, "I've given you so much. Can you share with others? Can you help those around you that are not as well off as you, who have needs that must be dealt with? Can you help?" And so you see, there are just so many passages like that in Scripture, in the book of Proverbs alone, but everywhere in the Bible, the idea of generosity, of being like God, is everywhere found in the Word of God. Greg Foster, in an article in 2013 in Christianity Today, says this: "Surveys show that as many as three quarters of Americans have no sense of dignity or higher purpose in their jobs." In other words, they say, "Gotta go do it. I can't wait till quitting time. Can't wait till the weekend. Gotta get this done." They have no sense of dignity or higher purpose in their jobs. But then he goes on and says, "All honest work serves as a spiritual calling to fruitful and worshipful service." It's an opportunity. That job that we're so bored with, that job that we really can't wait to retire from, could we not look at it as a means of getting what we need in order to help others? Because that's part of what our work ethic says. We're not just serving ourselves. We're not just trying to provide for a good retirement and for a fun vacation. We're here to help. That's the new work ethic that Christ calls us to. If I ask you, what does the word Corban mean? Would you know? Yeah, it's a town in Kentucky. It's also a name of some people that I know. But what does the word in the Bible, Corban, refer to? And some of you might recognize it from Mark chapter 7. And you would say, well, that's that tradition the Jews had that said, if you designate this much money to the temple, then it is locked in. You cannot use it for any other purpose, even if your mother and your father need help. Even if your mother and your father need help. Oh, I'm sorry, I've already given that money. I can't use it to help you. It was a very selfish and godless practice. We don't have Corban today like that. But is it possible that we have locked in all of our income, all of our resources for ourselves, and left nothing for these opportunities that come along? Now, I'll be the first to say, there are so many here at Central that are so generous. Praise God for you. But let's all look at ourselves. Let's all examine how we look at our money, how we look at our jobs, because opportunities to help come along often, often without warning. Will we have anything to give to those who are in need? And let me close with Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. And here again, as part of that new work ethic that Jesus wants us to have, he says, "Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men." That's how I'm to look at my job, that I'm working for the Lord. Ultimately, I know I've got a boss I need to please. I know I've got to take care of my family. I've got to do things I want to do, but ultimately, I'm working for the Lord, and that changes everything. How about you? Has Christ made you new? Have you allowed Christ to come into your life and change those things that need to be changed? Because every time where Christ says, "Let's change this, let's do this a bit differently," it's always, always for our best. And if you're not a Christian, we urge you to make that decision today and start letting Christ make all things new. To become a Christian, you've heard the gospel. Do you believe that Jesus is God's Son? Are you ready to confess that before this group today? Are you ready to turn from your sins, repenting of them, and put on Christ in the act of baptism? Simple. Simple things to do that will only take a few moments. But if we can help you do that, heaven will rejoice, and so will we. And if you've done those things and yet you've not been faithful, you've allowed the world to tell you what to think, what to do, how to go about life, you need to repent, because Christ is your Lord. And if we can pray with you as you repent, we'd love to do that. Whatever we can do to help, please come as we stand and sing.